Welcome to Be Strong Minded Podcast. I'm Petia Kolibová, a mind, body, and soul transformation guide, meditation teacher, fitness and wellness expert, self-love junkie, and lifestyle entrepreneur. Each week, I will be offering an interview or idea that will support you to build a strong mindset and confidence to leave behind your past suffering, enjoy the present moment, and create the life you deserve. I will take you on a journey of self-discovery by elevating your energy and connecting with your soul while offering simple steps and tools you can use right now to create a healthy and empowered life you love. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me on another episode of Be Strong Minded. I am extremely excited about the special guest today that I will be sharing with you. Kut Blackson is author of national best-selling book, You Are the One, and is widely considered the next generation leader in a field of personal development by everyone ranging from Larry King, Jack Canfield, Marianne Williamson, John Gray, Don Miguel Ruiz, and many others. For over 20 years, he has been inspiring audiences all around the world. His electrifying presentation not only offers real-world practical ideas and soul-stirring wisdom, but also ignites the heart and inspires courageous action. Welcome, Kut. I'm so excited to have you here today.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's incredible. You know, and I read only little part of who you are and what you're doing. Now imagine that there is someone in the audience that never, ever surprisingly heard about you. What is the one thing that you really want people to know that it's true to your heart?
Wow, the one thing. I mean, there's probably so many things. The one thing that's true to my heart is I'm passionate about life, passionate about love. And for me, as a young, from a very young age, my mission, my calling, my obsession has been to serve people, help people, I love people. And so if there's one thing, that would be the one thing. I mean, this has been my life's passion. For me, what I do is not simply work. It's not simply a business. It's a calling, you know, and I felt that calling from a very young age. I think at being age 5, 6, I felt a deep desire to serve people, a deep desire to serve humanity. And this is why I'm alive. It lights me up. It turns me on. It's my reason for waking up every day.
That's so incredible. I love that. 5 or 6 years young. Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful. You know, so many people are just still going through the motion in life and they are looking for the next thing that will ignite them. And usually it's just this superficial thing. So for you, it come in a form of love, which I think it's the most incredible and most beautiful thing, because we cannot live without love. Like the babies that are born, if they don't have love, they die. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm really incredibly grateful that you found it and you keep sharing it with the world in everything you're doing.
For me, you know, it wasn't necessarily easy in that, you know, I felt this calling to serve people from a very young age. I was born in Ghana, West Africa. My father's from Ghana. My mother's Japanese. I grew up in London. But, you know, I remember being around age 6, 7 years old, being a chubby kid lost in the crowd in Ghana. And, you know, this really impacted my life. I saw this crippled woman crawling on the floor. She picks up the sand that this man walks on, wipes it on her face and stands up. And so you could call that a miracle. So week after week, I grew up seeing blind people see and deaf people hear and people stand up out of wheelchairs. The man whose sand she picked up would look at a woman in a wheelchair and say, "Why are you in this wheelchair? Stand up." He'd look at a person with crutches and say, "Why do you have these crutches? Let them go." You know, cancer being cured, blind seeing, the deaf hearing. This man was my father. My father built 300 churches in Ghana, West Africa. Hundreds of thousands of followers. You know, was a huge spiritual figure. And so age 8, I started speaking in my father's churches. Age 14, I was ordained as a minister in my father's churches. I was given the sort of the mandate. I was the successor. I was supposed to take over my father's organization. See, my entire life was planned out for me. I was told, this is who you're going to be. This is what you're going to be. This is what you're going to do. And there was all of these expectations for me in my life. But when it was announced at 14 that I was going to take over, I knew that in my heart, this was not my path. I knew in my heart that something wasn't quite right. I felt a different calling as a young, even though it was a young age, I didn't quite know what it was going to be. I just knew it wasn't quite through the structure of a church or this organization. But, you know, honestly, I was too afraid. At 14, I was afraid if I spoke my truth. And I think many people listening here, you know, we feel a calling, we feel something, but, you know, you cannot live a truly happy and fulfilled life living someone else's life. And I realized I was living someone else's life. I was living my father's version. I was living, you know, society's version, my community's version for my life. And I was too afraid to acknowledge my truth. I was afraid that if I was honest with myself, if I spoke my truth, if I was who I really was, then I would be outcast, then people would leave, then I'd be alone, I'd be abandoned, I'd lose my father's love. And I think so often we suppress who we are, we suppress our truth, we suppress our true nature because we're afraid that people won't accept us. And as a result, we deny ourselves. I think to live life denying yourself, to live life betraying yourself is a form of suicide. And to me, this is one of the greatest pains that we have as human beings, is living life, feeling the sense of, you know what, I'm not being who I am. I'm not expressing who I am. I'm not speaking my voice. And to hold back who we are is painful. And so in a nutshell, I had to go through a process. You know, from a very young age, I was very obsessed with personal growth. I mean, for me, this is my life. I'd wake up and age 8 read my first self-help book. Age, you know, 9, I started reading hundreds and hundreds of books on spirituality and meditation and psychology and, you know, Eastern mysticism, Eastern gurus, Western, you know, teachers. And this was my passion. I wanted to understand who am I and why am I and what's the purpose of life? And, you know, why do some people who have everything seem to be miserable? Why do some people who have nothing seem to be happy? So I went on a quest and read 700-800 books by the time I was 18. But when I turned 18, I knew I had to make a decision. I saw my life set out for me. I looked into my future, 20, 30, 40, 50, and I realized if I followed my father's and everyone else's version for my life, it was going to be suffering. I could be successful by everyone else's standards, but if I didn't have myself, what do I have? Then I looked into my future and I saw the unknown. And I thought, wow, I feel like I'm meant to go into this unknown, but I have no idea where we're going, where I'm going, you know? And I think we're often scared of the unknown. It can be scary, but I always say the degree to which you can make peace with the unknown is the degree to which you're free. And so I had to really have a challenging conversation with my father and speak my truth and let him go. And so what I found, one of the things that keeps us stuck as human beings, one of the things that keeps us from breaking through and being truly happy, are all the ways we lie to ourselves, all the ways we rationalize, we settle, and we don't tell ourselves the truth. And so for those listening in, I would just ask a question. What lies am I telling myself? What lies am I currently telling myself? What am I pretending to not know? Because we're often we play a game of confusion. You know, I'm confused. You know, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know if this relationship is right for me. I don't know what I should do with my life. I don't know, when deep down we do know. There's a part of us that knows everything. There's a part of us, if we're willing to be still, if we're willing to trust our intuition, if we're willing to be courageous, we know. But we pretend. We play a game of confusion. So what, you know, what am I lying to myself about? What am I pretending to not know? What is it costing me? When we deny our truth, it costs us so much joy, vitality, freedom. I always say that happiness is simple. It's simple. Feel the truth, acknowledge the truth, speak the truth, tell the truth. Happy life. But, you know, not always so easy.
It's, yes, it sounds very simple and also not easy. So, you know, I wonder, because if people are not living their purpose, if they're not waking up in the morning excited about the day, if they're truly not living their truth, it must be because for many years, like you said, they were lying to themselves. They were denying their truth, who they really are. And most of the time, like you said, it's the fear of not being loved, not belonging, being judged. So Are there any ways or strategies or tips that you can share? How can people find their truth? Yeah. Because if they were lying to themselves for so many years, trying to be comfortable and obedient, it's years they built up denying this truth, how they can discover who they really are.
Right. So the first thing is we have to become conscious and aware that we're lying to ourselves. If we're not conscious and aware that we're lying to ourselves, it's like we're in denial. We don't even know that I am lying. Denial, you know? And we don't even know. We think that the way it is the way it is. And we just condition. So we have to be aware that, wow, I'm conditioned. Wow. Maybe I'm lying to myself, and we have to be willing. That's why ask yourself the question, what am I lying to myself about? What am I pretending to not know? What is it costing me? To be willing to feel the pain. Many times we're not happy. We're in relationships and we're not happy, but we go, no, everything's fine. I should be grateful. You know, he's nice. She's okay. It's okay. When deep down we know it's not. Or we feel the pain of, I'm in a job that is totally not expressing my truth. I have to go against myself to do this job. I'm not in integrity. But we're afraid, if I'm really honest, how will I survive? So we don't want to feel the pain or the full extent of the pain of what we're living, the lie that we're living, the misalignment that we're living. So we distract ourselves. We social media it away. We eat it away. We sex it away. We sleep it away. We meditate it away. We shop it away, just so that we don't have to feel the truth of the pain inside. So if you're lying, we know that we're lying. So acknowledge that you're lying and feel. Start by feeling the pain. Don't deny it. Don't run from it. Don't run from the dissatisfaction. I always say dissatisfaction is a sign of growth. If you feel it, it will stir a process inside of you. Even if you don't take action on it, even if you don't leave the job, even if you don't end the relationship, just acknowledging the truth begins to bring you into a process, and the truth starts to burn inside. Feel. Then ask yourself a question. What's the worst that can happen if I live my truth? Because we often make up a scenario in our mind of the worst. Oh my God, I'm going to be homeless. Maybe the worst that can happen is you leave your job. It doesn't work out. You go back to your job again or a similar job. So the worst, most of us, we're living the worst that can really happen right now. You're already living it. And so if you can make peace with the worst, then you're free. But then also ask yourself, what's the best that can happen? Many times, maybe you leave your relationship and okay, it's painful for a moment, but then you clear out what's not working and you make yourself, you create the space in your life to actually meet your soulmate, you know, or create the space in your life to actually live your purpose, live your joy, live your happiness. See, I want to address one thing you said. What often stops us from being who we are, what often stops us from living in alignment, living our truth, is fear. We're either afraid or we're either trying to fit in, be loved, be approved. Why? The moment we're born as children, we're born free. We're born in touch with infinity, with our essence. You look at a child isn't really afraid. We'll jump on the table. A child will sing. Doesn't care if it's not, you know, Michael Jackson or Adele. It's just singing. You know, a child will jump on the table, dance naked. Doesn't care. Am I fat? What do you think? It's just being who they are. What happened? What happened to us? What happened to that free-flowing, you know, self-expression when we were so in touch with our aliveness, our truth? We cried when we wanted to cry. We were ate when we wanted to eat. We were just being whatever we were. What happened is we were born. We met our parents. Our parents are just doing the best that they can do, but they're bringing their conditioning. So we started to get conditioned. Two things happened. The first thing is maybe we were born into an environment of pain, trauma, abuse, hurt, divorce. I mean, we all have things that happened growing up that were maybe challenging or painful. And so on one level, we started learning all sorts of coping mechanisms to disconnect, shut down, not feel the pain. So we started to suppress our feelings layer after layer, year after year after year. Maybe parents were screaming and alcoholics, and that was painful. So we shut down our heart. Maybe they were abusive, so we shut down our heart. Maybe they weren't around and it was painful. We felt rejected or not important, so we shut down the pain. So before you know it, we're age 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We start to shut down so much, we start developing all these layers of suppressed feeling, suppressed emotion that covers up our truth, that covers up what we really feel inside. So we don't even know what we feel inside because we've numbed ourselves. We created walls to hide what we feel to survive and cope. Then we go into life and we start developing a mask, a role, a persona. Who do I need to be in order to be loved? Who do I need to be for you to love me, for dad to love me, for mom to love me? Maybe if I'm nice, then they'll love me. You know, for me, I had to be the perfect son, the good boy, the nice one, the responsible one. And it was good on one level, you know, but it's also limiting on another level. So we develop these roles and masks to fit in, get love, be approved, that then we become this person that we think that we are. You know, we've made ourselves into the shape that we think that we are. But I ask people, is who you are who you really are? Or is it simply who you've been conditioned to be? Because the degree to which you're conditioned is the degree to which you're not truly free to love, to be honest, to be truthful. Because we hide our truth back because we're afraid. I'm going to get hurt. I won't be loved. And so we have to first become aware of the fact that we are actually conditioned. We're conditioned. You might not, who you are maybe is not who you really are, but it's just simply who you've been conditioned to be. But we often say to ourselves, no. Coop, this is just who I am. It's just me. No, it's who we've been conditioned to be. We have to become conscious of our conditioning and then be willing to feel the pain that we've suppressed, feel the pain of not living the truth, and then start having the courage to make different choices. That's just the beginning.
That's incredible, you know, because I do feel that everything starts with the awareness, you know, because if you are not every day feeling like the zest for life, and yes, we all have our ebbs and flow, not every day it's an amazing, you know, the best day ever. And every morning you have the chance to wake up and be excited to be alive. So if you wake up and you feel yourself dragging, that's the time starting to asking yourself these very uncomfortable questions. And I know that once you start asking better questions, you are getting a different answers.
Absolutely.
Because if not, it will be the same cycle over and over again. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because, or interesting, a couple weeks ago, I did a speech in LA and I asked the audience, raise your hand if where you are right now, if nothing ever changes, would you have who you are, that's all there is? Are you okay with that? You know how many people raise their hands? Nobody. Because people are usually not where they want to be. And like you said, they're lying to themselves. Yeah, this relationship is okay. Like this person, it's not cheating on me or beating me up. So it's better than the last one. This job is okay. I'm getting my pay. So it's okay. I can do that. Can you imagine to be there for the rest of your life? Because if the answer is no, I feel like you were mentioning, where do I see myself in 10, 20 years? Excuse me as I interrupt today's podcast episode, which I hope you're getting a ton of value from. If you're someone who has hit somewhat of glass ceiling in your personal and or business life, and you feel lost and unsure why, maybe even frustrated with it, I hear you. Here is the thing that happens when we hit a block in either business or personal life. It's because there is an internal blind spot that we aren't seeing and working through. It's because there is some sort of hidden belief that it's holding us back from leveling up and serving the world in the way we really desire to. It can be embarrassing and hard to step back and want to put in the work to bring our inner battles to surface. We want to keep pushing down the traumatic relationship, the lack of confidence, self-hate, down to the depths of us when nobody can see it. But sister, that's what's keeping you stuck. If you're ready to finally get out of your own way, dig deep, and dissolve those eternal bottles that are keeping you in a lackluster life, then I'm here for you. Head over to my link, calendly.com/bestrongminded, to set up a free 1-on-1 call with me so we can begin getting you into a state of abundance, joy, and closer to all of your desires. No more excuses. You deserve this. I will see you on our call. And now, back to today's show. So what can people do despite of their fears? What they can do right now, if they know there is something better in their life, we can usually feel it inside. There is something greater than what I'm doing right now. Besides the questions, stop lying.
Well, first, ask yourself the questions. What you can do is take action. You know, that's what you can do. I mean, there's nothing to do other than take action. I'll say, if you don't acknowledge it, ask the questions and feel, then probably you won't take action. But next is take action. Start looking at your life. Start having the conversation. Start speaking out. Start speaking to your husband. Maybe you'll speak to your husband and say, I don't know if, you know, what's happening. And maybe he'll say, well, I don't know. I don't love you. I don't know. Thank God we came to the truth. You know, I believe the truth sets you free. The truth will set you free. And the truth will serve everyone. Everything, life starts with the truth. We can pray to God and say, God, please help me. And God's going to be like, no, go tell the truth first. I can't help you if you're lying to yourself. You know, God, help me from this situation. Meanwhile, we're BSing ourselves. It doesn't work that way. That's like wanting to eat. That's like being 400 pounds overweight, wanting to eat 70 donuts a day, you know, and drink 70 milkshakes a day and lose weight. It doesn't happen. Truth equals freedom, and freedom equals joy. You know, that's how I see it. And so where you can start is take action. If someone says, but I'm afraid to take action, I don't know, I'm procrastinating, whatever it is, here's what I'll say as a motivation. If you need some motivation in your life, if you need some motivation to take action, if you need some motivation to follow through because you're like, I don't know if I can do it, here is my motivational idea for you listening. You are going to die. I want you all to just sit with that a second. Yeah. You are going to die. None of us know when that moment's going to happen. None of us know when our time is up. The people in 9/11 had no idea that they weren't going to come home that day, look their loved ones in the eyes and say, I'm sorry. The people in Southeast Asia or the tsunamis or volcano, you know, the earthquakes had no idea they weren't going to come home that day and be able to look the loved ones in the eyes and say, you know what, I really love you. I want you to know how much I really love you. The people who died had no idea that that moment was going to be their last moment. The only moment that's guaranteed is this moment right now, not the future, not when you retire, not 10 years from now, not 50 years from now, not 100 years from now, not even tomorrow, not even after this interview, now, this moment now. So I would invite people to really feel their death, not as some negative thing, not as a morbid thing. It's reality. When you feel your death, and you make death your friend, you bring death close, you have tea with death, you accept it like, yes, it could happen any moment. And ask yourself, if today was the last moment of my life, the last day of my life, would I be ready? And if not, why not? Why would I not be ready? And what would I need to do? What would I need to say? Who would I need to forgive in order to be truly, truly ready? Because life is a gift. We have no idea. You know, in each day, I think we have like 86,400 seconds every day. Time is ticking away. I would say, if you knew the exact date and time of your death, like, okay, because you're going to die in 2020, 2048. That's going to be you on January the 2nd. That's when you're going to die. And you look at you go, oh, shoot, it is 2018. I have X amount of years left. If you knew the exact date and time of your death, would that change how you're living your life right now? Hmm. You know, and if the answer is yes, then I would say let that motivate you to change what you're doing. Let that motivate you to shift your job, shift your relationship, shift where you're living. we all have the lock and we all have the key to change our reality. So feel your death. Me, you, Bob Marley, Bruce Lee, Jesus, Buddha, Gandhi, Muhammad Ali, David Bowie, we all will die. We all have one thing, time. And it's ticking and it's ticking and it's ticking and it waits for no one. And when we die, when that moment comes, because it will come for sure, when you go to God and when we meet our maker, we can't say to God, God, please, I wasted 3 years in that relationship. I wasted 7 years in that job. Can I get a refund? Can I get a refund? God says, it's too late. It's gone. Once it's gone, it's gone. And so I think when we can really be in touch with the reality of life, there is no life without death, no death without life. It's just the law of nature. When we can accept it, not run from it, you know, not avoid it, not see it as something bad, but go, okay, I have a limited amount of time in as myself. Sure, I have fears. Sure, I'm concerned. I'm a little afraid. But you know what? I want to live with no regrets. How would I need to live with absolutely zero regrets? And to me, this is the key, you know, to make the most of every moment. Yes, we're going to screw up. There's going to be ups. There's going to be downs. But you don't have to be perfect. Yet one of the things that need to be given up in order to take action, a few things. Number one, we have to also stop comparing ourselves to other people. We're constantly comparing, oh, that person's amazing. She's amazing. Oh my God, Michael Jordan, Oprah. And we start comparing ourselves to other people and then feeling bad about ourselves. And then, you know, it affects our self-worth and then we don't take action. The other thing we have to give up is this idea of perfectionism. Oh my God, I have to do it perfectly. I have to write my book perfectly. And then you ask someone, are you writing? Yes, I'm still writing my book. It's been 20 years we're writing our book, you know? We're always kind of writing our book, trying to make it perfect. There is no such thing as perfection in this relative existence. In the 3D existence, there's no such thing as perfection. Everything is born, it's in creation, and then it's destroyed. It's the law of nature, birth, death, creation. You know, birth, life, death, and it cycles around. You know, so you and I as personalities, we will never be perfect. Our personalities, even if we're in light, I'm sure even Mother Teresa had her own stuff. You know, I'm sure Martin Luther King had his own stuff. They were amazing, great souls. But greatness is not perfection. So we have to give up seeking perfection in this world, trying to be perfect, trying to not make mistakes, and make peace with the fact that you and I will make mistakes. And sometimes we let that stop us. I don't want to make a mistake, so I'm not going to do that. I don't want to fail, so I'm not going to do that. Oh my God. And so we hold back so much because we're trying to be perfect. Give it up and just, we have to make peace with doing our best. Mm-hmm. Doing our best. Doing our best. So long as you are doing your 100% best, that's all you can do. The rest is in the hands of the universe. The rest is in the hands of life. And so to me, real greatness is not being a perfect person. Real greatness is the degree to which you love. Mm. You can't control what happens in life because there's so many things that are out of our control. It rains when it rains. You know, people are what they are. You know, your husband or wife is going to respond how they respond. But what we can control is how we love each moment, how we love ourselves, and how we choose. Like in any moment, we have the power to respond with love. That's in our power. And to me, this is real greatness. And at the end of our lives, that's what we're going to care about. Did I love fully? Did I share fully? Did I live a fulfilling life? It won't be like, well, did I have the best iPhone? You know? and so I think this is really what it's about. Like, let us be inspired to say, you know what? I can't be perfect. I may not do it right, but I'm going to put as much love into this moment, into this relationship, into my project, into creating this object, and give that to the world. And the other thing I'll say is, if you're having a hard time taking action, remember that there are souls waiting for you. There are souls around the world waiting for your gifts. If by you not acting, by you not sharing, those souls, that mother, that daughter, that teenager, that person who could potentially be listening to this podcast, what if you didn't put this you know, interview out into the world? And you said, no, I'm afraid, what will people think about me? You said, you know what, I want to help people. So you have to have a vision that is bigger than yourself and realize What if I don't? There will be souls that will miss out. There will be souls that don't get impact. What if Martin Luther King was lazy? What if Mother Teresa said, I just don't feel like it this month, you know? All the people that would not have been, you know, not have been, I'm sure it wasn't easy for Gandhi. I'm sure it wasn't easy for Mandela being in prison 27 years. And what if he said, what if he just said, this is Tiwana, I'm going to commit suicide after a year. I don't want to be in prison. I'm going to commit suicide. He would have been gone. But look how the world would have been different if he didn't persevere through his challenges. So when you have a vision and when you can connect to the people you'll be touching, sometimes their souls can pull you forward beyond your fear, move you beyond your fear. Yes, you will face challenges. Challenges are simply the lessons that your soul has to go through in order to become seasoned, to become the person that is capable of fulfilling that dream. If Mandela didn't go through those 27 years, he would not have been Mandela. He would have just been, you know, Nelson. You know, he would have just been that guy. But, you know, the divine chef is cooking you and I. All those challenges we go through, we're being cooked and prepared to be served to the world. So I think when we go through challenges, rather than saying, well, why me as a victim? It's like, well, why not me? You know, why not me going through this right now? I'm being prepared. And so I think if we can embrace all of that, we can be inspired to move forward and act, knowing our action. Like, people send me emails all the time. People stop me on the street and go, oh, your video has saved my life. Your videos saved my marriage. You know, it's because of you. I have a relationship, you know, with my mother. You know, people write me, go, I've been depressed. I even thought of committing suicide, but your videos kept me alive. And I think back, what if I just listened to my fears 15 years ago? What if I just said, I don't feel like it today? So we cannot let that stop us, our mind, our conditioning, our fears. And we just have to do the best we can where we are, as we are, and put ourselves into the world and just say, you know, universe, I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to serve. Despite myself, I'm not perfect. I'm not this, I'm not that, but universe, use me, I'm ready. And you will find that life will use you in ways that you can't even imagine in this moment.
This is absolutely incredible. Like, I'm here speechless, and just to tell you, that doesn't happen very often. I'm not that type. But this is absolutely incredible. And also, yes, I want to tell you that your videos also changed my life. That's why I wanted to talk to you, because I remember, I don't know the exact day, but I remember my friend asked me, hey, do you know Kurt Blackson? He's really amazing. And I feel like you would really love his energy and what he's talking about. And that was like maybe like a year and a half ago, a couple of years ago. And and I went on YouTube, I look for your videos, and one video that I was listening when I was driving, you were talking about your drive to your friend's wedding, when you were speeding, when you were stopped.
Yes, and, true story.
those are the best, by the way. You know, those are the unplanned that we used to grow. You know, you could be complaining, why I was stopped, why this cop, I have to pay, you know, like this, I'm running late. All of these things that you could say, you know, why this is happening to me. What you did, you recenter. You ask yourself better questions. Where am I rushing? And you looked around. And you see the most beautiful sunset. And I was there in that moment with you. And I asked myself, where am I rushing? Where am I going? I'm rushing to get there. And you know what? In the meantime, life is happening. And I'm not living it. So thank you. Every time you show up, you never know who will hear your message, who needs to hear that in that exact moment. And maybe it's not the moment you're recording it. Maybe it's 5 years later. Maybe it's when we are ready to hear this message and when we are ready to say, okay, I'm taking control of my life right now. So thank you for showing up.
My pleasure.
Even maybe when you didn't feel like, because there are people who really need you. And I truly love, and I never heard it before, when you said, when you maybe are doubting, maybe when you are fearful, connect with the souls that you are meant to serve. That's so powerful, because I feel like even those who are awake, they know they get to show up for others. They really want to serve the world. They get scared. They get tired because they keep going. And it's not still showing up in the real world right here. This is what we get to do in those moments. Connect with the souls that you are meant to serve. So let me ask you one last question. What can people do to stay connected with you? What is the best place where you love to be connected with others?
Wow, several, but obviously people can go to my website, coopblackson.com, just my name, and find out about what I'm up to, my work. I do several events. One of the favorite things I love to do is I do an event twice a year in Bali called Boundless Bliss. People if you're listening to this conversation, you feel inspired, maybe you feel ready to go to that next level, you can go to also www.boundlessblissbali.com, find out about my event there. My book, You Are the One, is an amazing journey. Put a lot of love and heart and soul into writing this book. Obviously, I'm on Instagram and social media and Facebook. Say hi. Let me know you heard this conversation as well.
Incredible. Thank you so much. And is there anything, like last thoughts coming from your heart that you would like to share with the audience?
You know, I would just simply just kind of add, like, look, if you have a dream or a vision, that dream chose you. That dream chose you because you are the perfect person to fulfill the dream. Everything you've been through in your life, every success, every pain, every trauma, everything has simply been preparing you for this moment, has simply been preparing you to fulfill your dream and your vision. The dream doesn't just belong to you, it belongs to life. And you are the vessel and the vehicle through which the dream and the vision will fulfill itself through. So say yes to it. Say yes to it and trust and know that you are the one.
Oh my gosh, you are incredible. Thank you so much for your
great
energy,
to be here.
Your time, and everything you're doing. And I will keep supporting your journey and
Thank
sharing
you.
Your words.
Thank
you. Beautiful day.
Thank you so much for spending your time with me on the Be Strong Minded podcast. I'm happy we could share this time together to create a space for the new exciting life that is on its way. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it, that would be absolutely amazing, and I would be forever grateful. Also, please leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes. Leave us honest thoughts and comments. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It would be really appreciated if you can help us on a journey to helping thousands and thousands of people. Until then, keep shining your light.